Good morning. We are at Tuesday, and it's our political observer, Alan Shar Talk. We always thank our listeners for tuning in.
Yeah. And now with the app, you know, you could take your iPhone or Android out into the garden and pull your weeds and listen to WAMC at the same time. You know, David, summer is just such a different experience than winter. This last winter was just too cold. And it's just so wonderful to see the green and all coming up. That's when the glass is half full. The glass is always half empty when you know, well, how long can it be before we're in the winter again?
We're not going to think about that.
And
right
so
now.
It goes.
And so it goes. Well, so it goes in South Carolina after memorials and calls to remove the Confederate flag from the Capitol. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley has now joined that call.
That's right. Look, this may well be a change moment in the United States. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. The idea that things happen just when you think you'll never turn a corner. There's always going to be a Confederate flag, a symbol of the Civil War, of slavery, flying over the Capitol, government run in South Carolina. And then all of a sudden, it changes. All of a sudden, the futility of not allowing people to marry who are gay, it changes. So you come in each case to this tipping point where even the most conservative political actors take a look at the situation and say, no, this is wrong. Whoever thought we would see it in our lifetimes, but we are now. And all of a sudden, that flag is going to be put where it belongs, off the grounds of the Capitol and maybe into a museum. But it's just unbelievably vexing to see it continue to fly up there. And now you see what some of the import of that is, the murdering kid with the flag in his background and as he's taking selfies and as people taking pictures of him. Nothing is inconsequential. Everything leads to something else.
Meanwhile, America's first African-American president, Barack Obama, used a racial slur in an interview yesterday to drive home the point that slavery still, quote, casts a long shadow on American life.
Well, it sure does. The history of racism in this country is just appalling. We know what happened. We brought people over here in chains. We know that it was until relatively recently, by our standards of history, people were taken out of bondage but kept in economic bondage and then given educations which were highly competitive with those of white children in this country. And Supreme Court comes along as recently as 1954 and changes it all. And so we have a country that has been under the thumb and in the shadow of this racial difference, and it still exists, and it exists to the point where we made it happen as a country. I wasn't here, my parents weren't here, but as a country, we made it happen, and now we have to take the responsibility for making it better. And that's why things like pre-K, kindergarten, and proper education are so important.
To New York, where there was hearings yesterday on the minimum wage, with pleas that $8.75 an hour is just not enough. You even spoke for your Capital Connection program this week with Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, who said the state can absorb a minimum wage increase.
Well, I think it's true. I know we can. It may be somewhat inflationary. I don't know. And I do know that if you do it, you should probably do it right across the board. The idea of doing it for one industry but not for everybody creates a sort of imbalance in the economic system. So I really like the idea of a minimum wage that applies to everybody. And I do think that there is no excuse for the kind of poverty we have in this country. Now, I heard Bernie Sanders the other day giving a presidential speech on the C-SPAN. And basically, he was talking about the disparity between what the few people at the top are making and what everybody else is making. Well, let everybody share in it, and that's what a minimum wage is all about.